This is Savages in the Box.
I want you to feel us.
Now here's Chris Carlin.
Yes, good weekend for the Yankees to open up the 2020 season down in Washington, D.C. They take 2 out of 3 from the Washington Nationals. Welcome again to the Savages in the Box podcast. I'm Chris Carlin, and if you're new to the podcast, here's the deal. 20 minutes Monday through Friday, every morning, 6 a.m., the podcast drops, gives you everything you need to know from the previous game, in this case, from the previous weekend, give you all of the reaction as well from Aaron Boone, from players. And we will also get your reaction as well. Everything that you have to say, you can send it via Twitter, and we will get it on the podcast at Chris Carlin, at C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. By all means, send them in. You can also email us at CarlinESPN@gmail.com. And then finally, we will preview the next game or the next series, and we will do that in just a little bit as the Yankees get set to face the Phillies. But first of all, let's take a look back at the weekend and the win on Sunday afternoon that gave the Yankees the series. Patrick Corbin, the guy that they had pursued two off seasons ago, the left-hander, was absolutely fantastic. Had retired 18 of 19, hadn't walked anybody, had struck out 8 until he faced Gleyber Torres in the 7th inning. 75 pitches, Torres hits a solo home run, his first of the season, to bring it within 2-1. And then Will Harris came on in relief. And a couple of batters later, Luke Voit delivered with a solo home run to tie the game up. In the 8th inning, Torres again delivered in a big spot, RBI single in the 8th inning that gave the Yankees the lead for good. And for Torres, it was extra special because it was the 4th anniversary this weekend of getting traded to the Yankees. He made special note of that on social media and how much it meant to him to get traded to the Yankees and become a part of the organization. And he played like it this weekend, that was for sure. Again, delivering big hits on Sunday afternoon after he had been somewhat quiet offensively, even though he had hit a couple of hard balls that were just right at some people over the weekend. So Gleyber delivers, and the Yankees needed it. And the other guy that delivered was Tommy Kahnle. In the 8th inning, got himself in a bit of a jam. With that 3-2 lead, Torres committed an error that allowed Trey Turner to reach, and then Adam Eaton doubled. So all of a sudden, with one out, Kahnle is looking at second and third, but he did a fantastic job. Boy, his changeup looked absolutely dynamic as he struck out Starlin Castro. Then Aaron Boone decided to walk Howie Kendrick to pitch to Eric Thames, the left-hander, and again, the changeup really did him in. Just devastating, and for Kahnle, it really was kind of pretty simple. Here he is talking into a microphone about it after the game.
Basically, I was just going to try to get the strikeout. I knew I had to get it. I knew going into it, my changeup was working well. So, I mean, me and Gary sit on the same page and just stuck with it and got the big out.
Yeah, it was a huge out to strike out Thames in that spot and get the Yankees out of it to preserve that lead. Zach Britton came on later to get the save. Did have a couple of base runners, but Britton was able to navigate his way out of that too. But back to Kahnle, Aaron Boone is absolutely loving what he is seeing right now.
Man, he just kept making pitches against good hitters. He's just throwing the ball really well right now. You know, since summer camp has started, really he wasn't throwing great in spring, but when he got back for the summer, the velocity was there. I think his fastball is actually playing a little bit better, but his changeup was, when it's usually really special, it had that look to it today.
It certainly did, and Kahnle got some big outs on a day when they needed him. Again, this was a game they wanted to get 2 out of 3, and there was an intensity to it. We'll get to that in a second. The other thing, too, is Yankees had emptied the tank. You know, they had gone with the opener in Jonathan Loaisiga, 3 innings, 1 run, 51 pitches, gave them exactly what they needed, and then you end up using 6 pitchers overall in the game. So when you go through that kind of a situation and you have an opportunity to win that game, it's one that you absolutely have to get. And they did it. All right, big takeaways from the weekend. Number one, the Sunday afternoon game had a huge feel to it. It really did. And that's somewhat new because we talk about how a 60-game season can be so much different when you have each game basically matching the importance of three games. And there is no question that Sunday was the first time we have seen it this season. There was a palpable energy to it. You felt like you were sitting on the edge of your seat, and they could absolutely sense it too on the bench. Listen to Luke Voit.
Today, that close game, you know, all the guys in the dugout are, you know, hooting and hollering, balls and strikes, you know, big hits. So it made it, you know, feel like more of a game, and guys are out, you know, in the stands yelling too. So it had a more of a, you know, a more of a September, August game feel. And, you know, that's a good team. So it was good to come out with a big series win.
And he's not overselling it there. It really did have that kind of a feel to it. And that's what's going to make the 60 game season intriguing, even for those of us who don't necessarily take the champion all that seriously, comparatively speaking to champions of years past. But you cannot help but enjoy the intensity of the games. Number two, Gleyber Torres getting out of it offensively. That was a major development on Sunday. Even though he had, as we said, hit the ball hard a couple of times, for him to deliver on Sunday in the clutch once again proves that this is just one of those guys that comes along so infrequently. And when he does, boy, it's special to watch. And let's call it what it is. Gleyber Torres has a Jeter feel to him when he delivers in the clutch. He absolutely does. And you trust him when he's at the plate to deliver in the clutch. There are other guys, and you can point to Stanton, you could point to Judge, you could point to whoever you want to, that you may not necessarily feel the same way about. Gleyber Torres is the Yankees' best overall player, and I know I'm not breaking any ground there. He just is, and he's the guy that this organization has to be built around for the long term. Now, one other issue that I thought was interesting was pitchers who were coming into this game for the first time with no fans. And a guy that's actually been through it before was Zach Britton. You know, he's been asked about it quite a bit because a few years back when they had the riots and the unrest in Baltimore, the Orioles actually had to play a game with no fans in the stands. And Britton was a part of that game and pitched in it. And Britton was asked about how he was going about today trying to get his intensity up. And he discussed that his intensity might have been too up. He was trying to ramp himself up a little bit too much, but he has found kind of a solution to make sure that he gets locked in.
As a closer, you have the opportunity to know who you're going to face a lot easier than maybe an eighth, seventh inning guy. But I try to simulate the at-bats that I'm about to do, you know, in the bullpen, and that gets me locked in a little bit more focused. So that's what I tried to do today. And some guys have asked me about it, and I said, I think that's a good step. You know, maybe you guys try that. If it doesn't work for them, then, you know, try something different. But for me, it's simulating the at-bat before it happens.
I thought that was pretty interesting to hear him discuss that process in the bullpen. You can just imagine he's got in front of him, as he said, he knows who he's going to face. And that's a bit of a luxury when you are the closer and you're able to know that in advance, and he can mentally set that up. Lastly, James Paxton. He pitched on Saturday, as we know. The velocity's a problem. Now, Paxton had back surgery. We knew it was going to be a road back. And the fact that we had COVID-19 happen, we discussed at length the idea that it actually was going to work to the Yankees' benefit in some ways. And getting Paxton back was going to be one of those ways. Well, Paxton on Saturday night lasted a little over an inning, and he was sitting at 92 miles an hour with his fastball. Paxton, when he's at his best, is at 97, 98. And he was nowhere close. And it was very noticeable. And what makes him so dominating is pitching at 97 and then being able to drop that slider that dives all the way in on right-handed hitters. It's such a difference-making pitch when you can throw the ball 97 miles an hour as opposed to 92. And as far as the velocity is concerned, Yeah, Paxton is paying attention.
Something I'm building back up to. I haven't had the velocity, up to the mid to higher 90s since the surgery. I think it'll come in time, but it's definitely something that I want to address and look at going forward.
I think we'll all be looking at that pretty closely going forward because Paxton is such a huge part of this rotation. And look, is it anything to get scared about yet? I wouldn't say that. But it does bear paying attention to. He is going to pitch next on Thursday against the Phillies at Yankee Stadium. All right, let's get to your reaction from the weekend. I put it out there on Twitter, as we talked about, to get your biggest takeaways from the weekend. So Lynn Weisenstein on Twitter, that's Lynn from NJ. Lynn writes in, Torres is going to be a problem at shortstop. I get where you're coming from defensively. I think long-term, Gleyber Torres is not going to be a shortstop for the majority of his career. Yankees are going to let this play out this season. And they may have a decision to make in the offseason whether or not they have to go back and evaluate if he is going to be a shortstop for the long-term. Heck, they might even be in a position to think about bringing back Didi Gregorius, who's off to a great start. But you get the point. As far as him defensively, he committed the error that set up the eighth inning. I had a little trouble on a ball in the ninth inning. Still made a play when he needed to. But nonetheless, I can see where your concern comes from by suggesting that it would be a problem. Next up, we've got Evan Williams on Twitter. Their B game should win the pennant, but their offense is always prone to choke. Some of their better hitters are also buried on the bench. Don't get too nuts about that. The Yankees have an embarrassment of riches offensively. And when Miguel Andujar is going to be on the bench, he did play Sunday, you're just going to have to deal with that. That's the way it is because they don't have enough spots right now. For Pete's sake, they had to send Clint Frazier down on Saturday. We'll get into more of that in a minute, but this is the point. The Yankees have a lot to work with. You're right. They have to deliver in the clutch more, but you did see that on Sunday. Luke Williamson up next. The Rays might have a better team for $170 million less. If Paxton isn't right, Yankees are in trouble because they don't have the pitching depth the Rays do. As great as Cole is, Yankees need more. Astros had Cole, Verlander, Greinke, and still almost got eliminated by Tampa Bay. All right, we'll settle down. First of all, it is one start for Paxton. Secondly, you've only seen two starters so far. Happ will open up the series against the Phillies. Then Cole again. Then you get Jordan Montgomery later this week. And then hopefully on Friday, you get Masahiro Tanaka back. Samuel Tavares at standby for Sam. The pitching, with the exception of Cole, is shaky as it was last season. Offense is slightly better than last year. I don't believe Luke Voit is our long-term first baseman. Defensively, I don't know if he is either, but let's settle down on that. He has gone out of his way to lose some weight and try to get a little bit better, although he's not exactly looking cat-like so far. Jimmy Trainor, our old buddy from Sports Illustrated. It's a shame Giancarlo Stanton will eventually get injured. Well, that's the way to stay positive, Jimmy. John Wheeler on Twitter, checking in. Their offense should look good playing against the Phillies for the next four games. So they get Jake Arrieta to open up the series, and then they get Zach Eflin. But don't forget, you're also going to have to deal with Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler later in the week. And finally, Bill Domeka on Twitter. We escaped with the series win. Not a ton of great pitching and hitting was spotty. Strong enough when needed. Bottom line is they haven't played their best, and they got out with two out of three in Washington on the road. That's pretty impressive. All right, let's turn to the Phillies series over the next couple of days. And yes, it is Jay Happ, the former Philly, began his career in Philadelphia, who will open it up on Monday night. Gave up 34 home runs last year. We know that was the bugaboo. That was a big problem. You'll remember Happ was sent by the Phillies to the Astros back in 2010 in the Roy Oswalt trade when the Phillies infamously got four aces the next year in 2011, and he was one of them. Well, Happ is 9-3 lifetime at Citizens Bank Park, an ERA slightly under four. He has pitched in 30 career games there, making 20 starts. It'll be Jake Arrieta for the Phillies, and Arrieta missed the second half of last year with bone spurs in his right elbow, and he has been under some pressure from the Philly fans since he signed his three-year, $75 million contract a couple of years ago, and it's been a bit of a bumpy road thus far for Arrieta. Zach Eflin will go Tuesday, and then the series flips back to Yankee Stadium. It'll be Aaron Nola, Jordan Montgomery on Wednesday, and Zach Wheeler and James Paxton on Thursday. As far as the Phillies offense, it's been impressive so far. Yeah, they lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend to the Marlins, but Didi Gregorius is off to a good start. He's got 2 home runs so far. Phil Gosselin, not a household name, he's got 2 home runs to start the year. He's been playing second base for the Phillies. And they also got the first home run of the year from Bryce Harper, a 3-run shot. On Sunday afternoon. But again, they lost to the Marlins. Vincent Velasquez had a rough outing. All right, let's get to some news and notes. Number one, Donald Trump, the president, tweeted on Sunday that he would not be throwing out the first pitch on August 15th because he has a lot of other matters that he would have to tend to, and also that he would try to do it later on in the year. What was curious about this is that Giancarlo Stanton was asked about it on Saturday, and he said, you know, I'm not 100% sure that that is absolutely happening. I wonder if the Yankee players made their voice known there and spoke to management up above and said, we really don't want that to happen. And in turn, management went back to the president's office and didn't want to embarrass him, and then just turned and said, maybe we should just lay low here and we'll try to do it another time, or we don't cause each other problems and you just say that you had to pull out of it. It would not shock me if that happened, especially with the way Stanton was speaking about it. As we said, Clint Frazier was sent down after Saturday's game. You had Aaron Boone saying how much he really appreciated how Frazier took it like a pro, and it does seem as if Frazier is doing some maturing, but he is a guy that they all feel like can be in the big leagues right now and hitting in the middle of a lineup somewhere. Another positive development, Masahiro Tanaka made his simulated start on Sunday. 42 pitches, 3 strikeouts, 1 walk in Scranton. Hopefully he will be good to go for Friday night. You would expect that he would probably be able to go somewhere around 60 pitches at that point. And lastly, interesting story that's still out there regarding Jay Happ and his vesting option. Remember, he had to go either 26 starts this season or 165 innings for his $17 million vesting option for next year. Well, obviously, with the shortened season, that's not going to happen. If you prorated that, so to speak, it would be down to around 10 starts and around 60-some innings. And Happ, if he hits those, it's not defined yet that he's absolutely going to get that vesting option. It still has to be worked out with the Yankees. And he was asked about it Sunday, and you could tell there's still a little bit of annoyance that he is still dealing with that right now. Did not brush it aside as if, eh, no big deal. Said, yeah, that's still being worked out. So that will do it for this edition of the Savages in the Box podcast. We will be back with you on Tuesday morning after the Yankees open up their series later on tonight against the Phillies down at Citizens Bank Park. Have a great day, everybody.
Savages in the Box is available on the ESPN app and from Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.